A few supplements in chapter two, and there's a great deal that we have to say about chapter two. Remember, we only have 1 week more before Shavuos, that's next week. And so let's begin with chapter two again. When Naomi was out in Shah, Naomi had a relative of her husband, big Gibor Chayil, man who was mighty, Mimishpachas and another from the family of another, who spoke Boaz, and his name was Boaz. And there's a fascinating comment that's made by the Gemara. The Gemara says, by Tzadikim, you always have Shmom Kodem Lahem, their name before them. What does it mean, their name before them? Ushmo Boaz. Ish Yehudi Hoyo Bishushan Hapido Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shin Mekishim. There was a man, it says in Shmuel, there was a man whose name was Kish, Ushmo Kish, and he had a son by the name of Shaul. There was a man who would come up to Shiloh every year, Ushmo Elkanah, his name was Elkanah. By the Shoyim, by the evil, it says, the other way it says, there was a warrior who came out and Goliath Shemo. Goliath was his name. There is somebody who acts in a terrible way to David, Novol HaKarmeli. Novel HaKarmeli. So it says, Novel Shemo. It says it by a number of others. The important thing is the Gemara says that by Tzadikim it says Ushmo such and such, as it says about God Himself, Ushmi Hashem, my name is Hashem. So when you want to know that a person who is mentioned is a Tzadik, if it says Ushmo Boaz and his name is Boaz rather than Boaz is his name. Imagine, because his name goes before him, in a sense. Anyway, so we talked about the idea of the word Moda and Yidi'ah, and that Yidi'ah, to know, means to love, and that was the meaning of Adam Yoda. Adam knew his wife Chava, and that's what it means when it says Elkanah knew his wife Chana. Anyway, back to the pasuk about Tomer Ruth HaMoavia on the Ami Ruth. The Moabite said to Naomi, Elkanah HaSod, I'm going to go out into the field, Alakob HaShibolinam, I'm going to gather from the sheaves, the stalks of grain, Achar HaShedimtzeh Chen Ve'inav, after the one whom I will find favor in his eyes. But Tomer Ruth, she said to her, L'chi Biti, go, my daughter. So of course, by virtue of the fact that she says L'chi Biti, it means that Ruth is really asking for permission to go out. And as we began to describe, it seems quite clear that they were being ostracized by the entire community. Naomi, who had once been the woman of stature and note, significance and importance in Bethlehem, is now one who is shunned by others, despised by everyone, ostracized. Nobody has come knocking on the door, and there's nothing there. So Ruth is the one who takes the initiative to say, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go out into the field. What is she going to go do? We're going to see in this chapter living halacha. If you want a picture of halacha alive in Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you have it right here. The halacha says that when the harvest takes place, anything that drops to the ground, if it's one or two stalks of grain that fall, the poor may come and take it. three drop at one spot, they can't take it. There are all sorts of halachas, so that in a sense, not only are the poor provided with their needs, but in a sense, they're participating in the harvest. What was it? Did my mother last shown tell me that during the Great Depression, people would just, you know, get dressed up and go out of the house in the morning. Men couldn't just stay at home unemployed. Here, the poor are given the opportunity, while everybody is gathering in the grain, they also get up in the morning and they go out to work, which lends a sense of dignity to them as well. Excuse me. I was much better yesterday. Yes. Okay. Anyway, so Naomi says, okay, you can go. I believe in this pasuk, why is she described as Rut HaMoavia? And we always have to ask that question. We know already from the beginning of the Sefer that she was Rut the Moabite. Why must it be mentioned here? I have a feeling, obviously, because if we want to in some little way appreciate the courage involved in the step that she's going to take, then we have to remember she's a Moavia. She's a greenhorn. She's a Nai Bikimina. She's an Olah Chadasha that may not even be able to get a Tudat Oleh from the Mizrach HaPnim, because there are questions about whether she is Jewish or not. Which means that for her to take this step is an extremely courageous and difficult one. And the Pasuk wants us to appreciate that this is a difficult step for her. And therefore points out that this is Rus HaMoavia who prepares to take the step to go out, because she doesn't know what's waiting for her in the field. She may be coming into the field and she'll hear the cry, Moabite Shiksa, her voice, out! She doesn't know. What also may be interesting is, she knows Torah. She knows that the poor have a right to gather the grain in the field. This is not just some Moabite woman who has not learned about Torah. She knows. The next passage, Vatelech Vatovo, Vatelakeh Vasadeh, we described the, you know, the fear of stepping out into a new place. She walks and she comes back. She makes signs for herself to remember, this is where I turn, this is how I go back. You mentioned, you know, it's always so much longer when you travel to a new place than when you come back. So that's what she did. Vatelech Vatovo, Vatelakeh Vasadeh. And she gathered in the field Acharei HaKotzrim after the harvesters, but he carried it thereof. And it was amazing circumstance. She doesn't have a clue, but this is amazing circumstance. That it's Chelkas Hasod El Boaz, Asher Mishpachat Alimelech. This is the field, is the field of Boaz, who is from the family of Alimelech. The Gemara says, "Mishpachat Elimelech." Boaz from the family of Elimelech. This is pasuk 3, right? Weren't we told that already in pasuk Aleph? The very first pasuk of the chapter tells us that Boaz is from the family of Elimelech. Did we forget it by pasuk 3? So the Gemara says, "Mishpachat Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech, by Yikar Mikreha." Tosic says it was happenstance that it was the field of Boaz, who was from the family of the Melech, Omar of Yochanan. Omar of Yochanan said, "Shenitam lo mi mishehu ro'uy lipol b'chelka." Pasuk wants to point out that of all the fascinating things, this is a field that in some way belongs to her. It's part of her family. You know, she didn't even come into a stranger's field. She doesn't have a clue. She thinks that she is gathering grain from somebody else's, but she's from the family, her husband was from the family of Elimelech, which means that they all own all of these properties jointly. So the Pasuk wants to remind us, in her mind, she thinks she's taking charity. There's no charity over here. This is a field that by right should become part of the heirloom of her family to be someday. Anyway, v'hineh Boaz b'mi pik lechem. This is what we were up to. V'hineh Boaz b'mi pik lechem. And behold, Boaz comes from pik lechem. V'yomer l'kotzim asher imachem, and he told the people who were harvesting, Hashem imachem, may God be with you, and he used the name of God. He didn't say Hashem. He didn't say that Eishter. He said out the name of God, Achbud kevav ke Hashem imachem. Vayomru, and they said to him, and they too used the name of God, Yivorecho Hashem. They didn't say Hashem. They said Yivorecho Adol, as we would say, the Shem Hashem. So from this verse, all the Gemara says that it was Boaz who beit dino. It was Boaz and his beit din that established a rule for the time that people should bless one another with the name of God. And the reason why he established it is he felt that there was a lessening of the relationship between man and God, and he wanted to get the name of God again into the mouths of people. They had gone through a period of idolatry, and he wanted them, you know, in Yirtz Hashem and Baruch Hashem and the Eibishtavet Helton, and you know, the Almighty, the idea of using the name of God, and especially using it and saying it as it normally should be said, is something that would shake up people. That's exactly what he had in mind. What's always interesting, and you always have to stop when you come to the word v'hineh. V'hineh always means something surprising has taken place. One of the classic places, I don't have my Chumash with me, I don't have my Tanakh with me, I feel like I don't have my right hand with me. But all right, we'll remember a little bit. Yaakov is fleeing from the house of his parents because Esau wants to kill him. And if he comes to a place and he lies down there at night, via Chalom, and he dreams, v'hineh, Sulam Mutzav Arzov, there is a ladder, the ground, v'hineh, and behold, Mavachei Elokim, the angels of God, are going, v'hineh, and behold, God is standing over him. Every time it says v'hineh, always, it takes us into the feelings of the one thing that's happening. Surprise, something unusual has happened. I once wanted to say this is just as an aside, but it's not really an aside, because it has to do with the period of Mashiach. Mashiach, remember, is going to issue from Rut. Rut is going to be Mashiach. In Sefer Yeshayahu, when Yeshayahu describes the period of the Messianic period, so he says, you know, and the lamb will lie down with the lion, and the leopard with the Quetzalcoatl. I mean, I don't remember the precise words over there. And I always wondered, he never said v'hineh. He should have said v'hineh, behold, the gor ze'ev and keves, the wolf is going to lie down with the sheep. V'hineh, you understand, a child is going to play with a poisonous snake. Behold, The leaven. The leaven is going to play with the chicken. I don't know, whatever it is. Or the cat and the mouse. So they say that's precisely the description of the mess of the period of Mashiach. The reason why the word vihine, surprise, doesn't appear there, because that's going to be the natural order of things. It's not going to be unusual. If you're going to walk through the streets and you'll see a lamb and a wolf, you're not even going to take a look. Of course, what it also means is, I don't know, somebody from Meretz and somebody from the Eda Haredis walking with their arms around each other, you're not even going to look up and say, by the way, that's what the Navi really means. That's what it really means. Because the fact is, I think it's the Malbim and others who say, nature of animals are not going to change in the days of Mashiach. A wolf will go after a lamb, you understand? And a cat is going to go after a mouse. There are others who say differently. It's a machloket whether there's going to be such a dramatic change in nature, or it's all a metaphor. According to the Rambam, everything is a metaphor. What it means is people of different persuasions are going to be able to live together side by side. Nir Barkat is going to vote for Uri Lopolyansky. That's going to be the Motav Amashiach. There are, of course, others who say yes, that there will be a dramatic change. I saw it in another sheet this week that the cat or the wolf will still want to go after the lamb. But you know what? The wolf is going to be able to control itself. How do you like that? The wolf is going to be able to, a greater understanding of good and evil. You don't start off with Shevchach, start off with somebody your own size, and all right. Anyway, so Vihinei Boaz, and behold, Boaz is there. What's the surprise? What's so unique and unusual about this? Well, so you're going to say that Boaz is a big wealthy man. He has all of his shamosim to take care of everything that's going on in the field. I believe the surprise is a double surprise. Surprise number one, there have been many years since there was a harvest taking place in the land of Israel. There have been many years since the owner of the field would be able to go into the field and see the stalks of grain and full length being harvested. Which also means something else. Because for so many years there wasn't a harvest, it means the Jews had to learn the laws of harvesting all over again. The laws of harvesting are terribly important. You have to leave paper, a part of the field and a corner of the field. There are all sorts of laws. Listen, we know that next time Shemitah is going to come around, we're going to have to start learning the laws of Shemitah all over again. Not as though we didn't know it. We will have forgotten it in 7 years. I don't even know, I was only being nice when I used Shemitah as an example. I can use every Pesach as an example. Rabbi Hadi Akasha, the stone. I know I asked you last year, and I know I asked you the year before. So either I'll say, oh, but it's a minute I have to ask you every year, or I just forget from year to year. Vinei Boaz. Boaz feels the responsibility that he has to make sure that his people in the fields, after all these years that they didn't have to fulfill the common laws of the field. Somebody has to be out there to teach them. Somebody has to tell them. There's leket, there are those that fall that you're not permitted to take. There's shikha. If you forget a bundle in the field, you're not permitted to take it. In the vineyard, there are all sorts of clusters of grapes that you're not permitted to take. You're supposed to leave it. You have to leave the payah in the field. There are a lot of halachas. It became something of living Judaism. This is part of the living Judaism that we are reading in the story right here in Sefer Vihinei Boaz. this you can't leave in the hands of your executive director or your top farmhand or a cowboy. Here you need somebody, and it was probably Boaz is the one who was teaching Claudius all these laws, that he comes into his own field and he makes sure that everything is going to be done the way it should be done. Boaz said to his boy who was in charge of, he did have somebody who was in charge of the offices, to whom is this girl? To whom is this girl? Rashi brings the famous question of the Gemara, v'chidarko shel Boaz l'shol v'anashim? Is this, Boaz asks about women? So Rashi gives the answer of the Gemara, v'divrei tzniut v'chokhma ro'ova. He saw in Rut, he saw modesty and wisdom. Shtei shibolim lokta shlosha enoloketa. He saw, he noticed that if there were two stalks of grain, she would take it. If there were three lying there, she didn't take it, which means she knows the halacha. And then, a sheaf of grain that was standing up, she would pick it standing up. What happens if it's down on the ground? There are two ways to get it when it's down on the ground. You can bend over, or you can go down on your legs, in a sense, move into a sitting position. As far as the dignity of a woman is concerned, it's much more dignified for her to go down into a crouching position and pick it up. And he noticed that she was very careful. Every time she had to go down, it was done with a great degree of modesty. He says, "V'haytamala ketet ondot mu'umad." If the stalk of grain was standing up, so that she picked it that way. V'shochot, if it was lying down on the ground, v'yushav. She sat down. She went down. Kedei shelo tishche, she shouldn't bend over, which certainly is undignified. Further, so he asks, to whom is this girl? V'yam hanar anitzal hakotzim, the man who was in charge of the harvesters, he answered, and Pagar, he said, Nara Moaviyahi, Hashoah in the Om Yistei Malav. Interesting. He's been out of the field. Everybody knows precisely who she is. Nobody has said a word to her. We don't even have any indication that this boy said. It seems that she spoke to him. We'll see in a moment. She's a girl. Moaviyah. So now you get a picture. How do they look at her in Bethlehem? How do they look at her? Did they look at her as a Giyonet? What is she?
Moaviyah.
She's a Moaviyah. Nara HaMoaviyah HaShovah in Naomi Mistei Moav, who returned. Very fascinating use. HaShovah in Naomi, who has returned with Naomi Mistei Moav. At the same time that he refers to her as a Moaviyah, you can also get an indication that there's a certain respect for this Naharon Moaviyah. They don't know how to take her, because take a look what it says, HaShovah who returned Im Naomi Mistei Moav. They understand that they realize that she is devoted to Naomi, and the two of them are like one. And he even describes her journey from the field of Moav as a journey of return. In the simple words of this boy in the field, you can get a picture. I mean, you know, you get a picture of, they know who she is. And I'm beginning to wonder at this point, do they now ostracize her because of some kind of distance that they feel, that they don't know how? They don't know how to deal with her. On the one hand, she's a stranger, a Moaviyah. On the other hand, she manifests a dignity, a stature, a bearing, a commitment, a loyalty to Naomi. This shakes people up, you know. There's a certain you're sort of afraid to approach people who leave you with an impression of such feelings. Yes?
Just refresh my memory. What was the reason that Naomi was so ostracized?
Naomi was ostracized because at a moment of great crisis, there was great hunger. She was rich. She left.
Yeah.
She abandoned her to smile. She left all of her friends. You understand? And we used the example of the country is under siege over here, and some fellow has an American passport, and he gets onto the first plane. Get out of here. You guys can stay here. I'm going to safety.
Okay.
That's betrayal. She betrayed them. She was part of a family who had betrayed them. Bartomer, so the young man, the young man is speaking, and he says, she said, Awaktono, let me please gather here for Safti, and I will bring them together Ba'amorim from the stalks of grain, Ahariakotzvim after the harvesters. Bartomer, Bartomo, Be'oz HaBoker Be'adada, she came, and she's been here from morning until now. Zeh Shifto HaBayit Be'ad. She has just now returned to the house. A very difficult phrase to understand. I like the mountains approach. We can see later on there must have been some kind of a hut in the field where people would go, you know, to get out of the sun for a while, to have a bite. So the young man is saying she had been at the house already for a drink or for something, and Zeh Shifto, she's just now returned. Shifta habayit ma'at. She's just came back from whatever hut there was in the field. It can't, of course, be referring that she had gone home to Naomi, because we can see later in the chapter she's going to go home to Naomi. You see, I always have crazy thoughts that go through my head. As I was saying, these four words, could there be a deeper meaning? It's only recently that she has returned home. How's that? Does it grab him?
Yeah.
She has recently returned home. I think he's talking about her with great respect. He sees that this little boy is becoming, this young man is becoming very fascinating to me. Zeh Shifto HaBayit Ma'at. Oh boy, can I make a circle on this? Zeh Shifto HaBayit Ma'at. He sees her journey as a journey of return, a journey of return home. It's only recently, is he possibly saying, despite the fact that she's just returned home, she knows the halakhas of what she can gather in the field and what not. And here is Boaz, who has come to the field to teach all of these other fellows what to do. I mean, don't we find that often? When I get shailas from Bali Tshuva, I shiver my tempers, because they have a unique way of finding things that I never heard of my whole life. But I've learned one thing, never ever to say, oh no, that can't be. Because, you know, we know nearly everything, but we don't know everything. The little nothing that we don't know, they find out about it. And they come up with very fascinating questions. Because they also pick up all sorts of minhagim that they see in different homes. I haven't been in different homes. Where do I go? I don't go any place, but they know they, beginning of their process, they end up in all sorts of homes. You pick up a minute here, you pick up a minute there. Well, I know somebody who picked up a minute in ours. When we got married, we didn't have any place for the bananas, except on top of the fridge. So this fellow keeps coming into the house, and then some later time we end up in his house, and you know where the bananas are?
The fridge.
Yeah, on top of the fridge. And we asked him, what are your bananas doing on top of the fridge? He says, what do you mean, what are my bananas doing on top of the fridge? Your bananas are always on top of the fridge. question just now.
Because what you're saying.
I'll be with you in a moment, Rhoda.
How was everything known like this? I mean, this young man, obviously he was not one of the Gedolei or whatever it is, and you know, he's a guy who works in the field. How did he know so much about her? Obviously, Ruth didn't come over to him and spill the bean, and Naomi was ostracized, as it were. How did this kid know so much about her?
That's a great
line. Michael. Is it possible, I'm going to present the possibility that she's an attractive woman?
Well,
that's one. By the way, Kazal did say that. That's only one. Number two, she's a foreigner. She's a stranger. Don't you watch foreigners and strangers? We've never seen them these parts before. And not only that, he hasn't seen her, but he's heard about her. And he knows a great deal about her. She is a source of a great deal of fascination, great deal of curiosity. And I'm saying that the fascination and curiosity has given way to respect and even a degree of reverence. They see that she's a special woman. She knows how to love her. She conducts herself with modesty. She has great devotion to her mother-in-law. Oh, this is enough for anybody to want. But going in order, Rhoda?
How come she knows the halakha? Where did you learn in Naomi?
Give you one guess.
Naomi
book. The Gemara says it. I'll read you the Gemara. Medrash. The boy says she's not a Moabia. She's a Moabite girl. Amalei. So. He said to him, I imagine it's the boy saying it to Boaz, you say that Maaseh Yofim Dinoim, her deeds are beautiful and pleasant, Farlo Nara Moaviyadi. When he calls her Nara Moaviyah, so the Medrash says, what are you talking about? You tell me all these things about this Moabite, but she's a Moabite girl. So the Medrash says, Ela Givirto Rof Allah. Givirto means her mistress is the one who healed her. Who healed her means that she's taught her, she's prepared the way for her. Malka?
To Michael's question, when Naomi returned, Vatahom Ha'ir, Mehuma Haita, and everybody spoke
about this. That's also good.
Yes.
Do you hear, Michael? Shmana Divrei Malka, Batayom Ha'ir, the whole city, the whole city watches the two bedraggled women coming into Beit Lechem. This is... All right, let's go a little further. Vayoma, Boaz said to Ruth, Hello, Shaman P.T. This is the first time he speaks to her. Boaz said to Ruth, Hello, Shaman P.T., but you heard my daughter. Don't go gather in anyone else's field. Don't go anyplace else. In another field. And don't go away from here. And so shall you cleave. To my girls, there are girls out in the field too. The word tibbakin is very important to me. So just remember it. Your eyes should be in the field where they are harvesting for halach ta'areyin and follow the girls. Halon tziviti et hanoadim. I've commanded the boys, levilti nageich. No one should touch you. Vitzamit. You'll become thirsty for halachta hakelim. Go to where we have all the provisions. Vishatit, and you can drink. May asher yishavun hamarim from that which the boys are going to fetch. Tipo alpanah, she prostrated herself. Vatishtach warat, so she bowed to the ground. Vatomerelov, she said to him, Madu alzavichin beinechol hakileni, why have I found favor in your eyes, lahakileni, that you idea that I know the truth. I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. You know, I always get these things that overcome me. So you know, just mention it and you can do with it what you want. Maybe you don't do anything with it. L'Akireni has the same letters as Nochriya, except for the Lamed. Nochriya is a stranger, and L'Akireni is to recognize, in other words, what a Nochriya wants more than anything else is the Hakireni. You are Hakireni when I am really Nochriya. I don't know, just interesting. That's all. Yeah. But after Vayam Boaz answered to her, Ma, you see, with every pasuk, we're getting more and more information so that we can understand what has been going on in Beit Lechem. So he says to her, Hu geid hu gadli, it has already been told to me. Kol asher asitim chamotech. You know what he's going to reveal now? He knows everything about her. Of course, it means, therefore, that there must have been great pressure for him not to have approached Naomi and Ruth before. He knows everything. And I'm sure that everybody in town knows everything. But nobody was ready to break the cycle of silence. And the one who had to do it was rude. I'm going to tell you a story. In 1955, I came to learn yeshiva here. 55. Long time ago. After Sukkot of 55, I went to Bnei Brak to learn in Yeshiva Panevish. First of all, you have to know, there were very few yeshivas in the country. I always keep reminding people that the greatest explosion and growth of Torah study of Torah institutions in the last 2,000 years has taken place in this secular Zionistic country, unparalleled and unmatched in all history. And then I had a whole problem. I went to one of the Russian yeshiva and he told me there's no place in the yeshiva. It was, Panevish had about 400 students at the time, pretty big. But he told me there's a fellow upstairs, his name is Rashach, go speak to him, maybe he can help you. So I went to this fellow Rashach, and he gave me a bechina, and I don't know, he got a little excited about me, and he puts on his bekish and he says, come with me. And he's running through the streets of Bnei Brak to take me to the office to tell him to take me in. And that's what happened. And I sat near him all the time that I was in the Panevish that day. Anyway, I come to this place where there's 400 people. 200 people. I sit one day. Nobody says hello to me. I sit 2 days. I don't know what's going on. It was the third or the fourth day that I decided that I'm going to take the initiative. I went to the first row in the Beis Medrash, a very big Beis Medrash, the same Beis Medrash. Walk over to the first person, tap him on the shoulder, and can I told him, Shmi Gold, Sholem Gold, and he got in the answer, tapped it, Lumolka, Sholem Alecha. Guy looks at me. I go to the next fellow, and I say, Sean, meanwhile, I don't know this yet, but there's a silence that's beginning to descend on the whole Beis Medrash. If this is Rishuna Americana, you understand, who knows what he's doing? It was a long row. I guarantee you, by the time I got to the end of the row, the whole Beis Medrash knew that there's a guy who came from America to learn here. And his name is Sholko. And after that, I went back to my seat near Asha, which was at the back of the Beis Medrash. And that crisis was was completely over. Ruth walks out of the house. There's been silence. Somebody has to break the silence. She realizes the silence is not going to be broken unless she does it herself. You know, that story is a perfect way of explaining what's taking place in this chapter. I never thought of it before. She takes the initiative. At all point, you know what happens because she takes the initiative? But what great things are going to happen for Kleinsville and for the world as a whole because she walked out that day and went into the field. So now Boaz is telling her, who gave who godly? You know I'm so nice to you? Because it hasn't been told to me. And the mother says, why does it say twice, who gave who godly? Telling me, have been told to me, there's sort of something very poetic about this. So the message says, who godly babayit, who godly basada. I heard about it at home, and I heard about it in the field. In other words, they've been talking in all of the homes in Bethlehem, they've been talking about Ruth and Naomi. But nobody could take the initiative except her. They've told me, Kol asher asita kamotech, everything that you did for your mother-in-law, acharei mot ishech, after the death of your husband, I understand. He's very careful what he says over here. It doesn't say what you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your father-in-law. Because she still had reason to remain with her because her own husband was alive. But what you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband, which already would have been reason for her to go back to her former life. And you left your father and your mother and the land of your birthplace. And you went to a people that you didn't know yesterday or the day before. I want you to look at that pasuk again. And I want you to tell me what that pasuk reminds you of. What other pasuk can you're unbelievable. You can unbelievable. Because I was expecting that it would take everybody who knows how long. God says to Avram, what does he say to her here? Fatazdi, you left. Avich, v'imech, your father and your mother, v'eretz molatech, and the land of your birthplace. Vatelchilam, you went to a land. People are showing that. There's only one problem. The order is reversed here from the order of Avraham Avinu. Let's listen to the passage by Avraham Avinu again. God says to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, Mei Arzecha, from your land, Mi Moladetcha, from your birthplace, Mi Beit Avicha, and from your father's house. That's the passage. By the way, that passage is also problematic. Is that the order in which things happen?
No.
You know what the order is? Precisely the opposite. You walk out of your father's house, and then you walk out of the city in which you were born, until you reach the border of the land in which you lived, you really leave Beit Avicha first, Moladetecha second, and Arzecha third. And God says to him, Lech Lecha, Mei Arzecha, Mei Moladetcha, Beit Avicha, precisely the opposite of the way in which it's done. Of course, I don't have to tell you that Torah is brilliant. What Torah is talking about, Torah is not talking about the physical or geographical movement from one place to the next. You know what the Rebbe was telling him? You're going to have to put your past behind you. Of the three, father's house, birthplace, and country, which may be the first to pass from one's consciousness? Land is first. Birthplace will be second. the one that's going to be the most difficult to leave is going to be family based on you. God is not telling Avraham if he knew how to move in order from one place to the next. He's telling him, I know the process that you're going to go through. It takes a long time. You know, you can forget that. America can forget, I don't know, I've even been able to forget Williamsburg, you know, because it's not the same Williamsburg anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Not the same. But a farmer's house is something, by the way, that you carry with you all lifetime. But for Avraham, Avraham has to leave it behind. And I think that this passage is so beautifully said. He realizes that she's done the nearly impossible. Do you know what you did? You left Ovich V'imeich. And the way I'm trying to interpret it, or the way I want to interpret the pasuk, is that this process is a process that's been going on for a long time. You knew that you have to break with your father and mother. I wouldn't be a bit surprised at the beginning of that process, certainly according to a shiur that you said last week or 2 weeks ago, she had already had to break with the house of her father and mother when she became the Ger Toshav that we talked about. She accepted upon herself the 7 Noahide mitzvahs. She's also, you know, while she's still in her birth city and she's still in the land of her people, you know what she's already done there? She has already left the home of her parents. And then, of course, you left Eretz Moavitev. And you've come all this way to a people that you didn't know. Tmol Shoshan. Would I be wrong? I'm not really asking you to tell me I'm wrong. Would I be wrong in saying, Ashelo Yodato Tmol Shoshan means that you didn't love yesterday or the day before? Didn't we say that the word Yitiyah also can mean to love? You've come to a people that you didn't love. This is getting better all the time. Yishalem Hashem Po'aleich. Let God pay your wages. Does somebody have an English translation of this passage? Michael, can you please read it? Yishalem passage 12.
Yishalem Hashem
Po'aleich.
May Hashem reward your actions.
May Hashem reward your actions, and then the next.
May your payment be full from Hashem.
May Hashem reward your actions, and may your payment be full. May him Hashem from God. Hashem okay, so the God of Israel. Hashem bought lachasot tachat knafot, that you come to find shelter under his wings. The reason why I wanted you to read it in English is because we have to know what's the difference between Po'aleich and Maskorteich. They both seem like wages or payment. So God should pay you Po'aleich, excuse me, Utehi, Maskorteich, Shlevo Mimashem. So of course when you come to words that sound like they're the same, number one, you have to know they're not the same. There are no two words in the Hebrew language in Lashon Kodesh that are precisely the same. That's number one. And then if you don't know the difference between the two, what you have to do is open up the Malbim and hear what the Malbim has to say. And the Malbim says to you, the Malbim says the following. There's a difference between schar and pu'ula. Pu'ula is an action, an act, and schar is wages. And he says there's also a difference between a sachir and a po'el. A sachir is a hired man. A po'el is a worker. Okay. Shapoel o uman yikabel schar v'raham aloha v'raham. A po'el receives payment for what he did. In other words, I order something by the po'el, and he does the job, I pay him for it. The sachir is a person, let's say, who's hired for a year, for 2 years, And it makes a difference. He's going to get the wages regardless of whether a particular month he's working or he's not working. There is no specific task that he has to do that he has to finish 10 pairs of shoes. He is hired for all sorts of things. So he says the following. The reward for the fulfillment of a mitzvah is called pa'aleich. A pa'al does mitzvahs. Did a mitzvah? Get reward. Get payment. The sachir is the one who, for a number of years, or for a lifetime, has signed on with the Rebbein Shalom. Or there it's maskur tekes shlema. You get reward, you get payment for each individual mitzvah. And then you also have the schar for having entered and become part of this people. I can't believe that you said that, because those were the three words that were going to come out of my mouth. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
She had a good teacher.
Take a look behind you on top of the Aron Kodesh. Those are the next three words. You see? V'shavu banim l'gvulam. What she said was, when Rachel cries in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rachel levaka al baneha, Rachel cries for her children who aren't here. She refuses to be consoled until God tells her, Yesh Sachar Lefu'ula, take. There is reward for what you've done. And then God goes on to say, Yesh Tikva La'achan Teich. There is hope for your end. And what is the ultimate end? The Shavu Banim Lefu'ula. The children are going to return home. So there too, yesh sachar, there is a reward for each particular mitzvah. But for your crying for your children, the only reward can be yesh tikva la'acharitech. Because of you, there is hope for all of Jewish history. You saved your children. That's Rachel Imenu. Don't get me on to Rachel Imenu, or we will have left the root behind. Let's go another few psukim. We have to. Bartomeh. So she said to him, "En zachim ve'enecha ami, I shall find favor in your eyes, my master, kini chamtani, because you have consoled me. V'chiti barta alein shivchatecha, you've spoken to the heart of your maid servant." For no chilotehe, I'm not going to be ka'afat shivkotecha. I'm not going to be like one of your maidservants. Chazal say she didn't really know what she was saying, but what really was being said here, that was nipa. She prophesied, I'm not going to be like the shvachot, I'm going to be like the imahot, I'm going to be like the matriarchs. What happens at the end? What's the bracha that she is? What's the bracha that she's given? That she should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. In the last chapter, by Yomer Kolhar, Asher Bashar, when Boaz marries her, that says all of the people around the gates and the elders, the Tei Hashemet and Isha Hakol El Beitechol, that this woman was coming into your house. Let her be Kerachel Uchaleo, Asher Bonu Shteim at Beit Yisrael, the two of whom have built the house of Israel. She says, I'm not going to be like a maidservant. You know what it means? You have to have great she'ifot.
Ambitions.
Ambitions. She's an ambitious woman. And, you know, ambitious could also, you know, could have a very negative connotation when you talk about the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation who's a woman, and you say about her, she's ambitious, you know. So I want to define, you know, that means, you know, she's a cutthroat, she's a killer, She knows who the Torah is, and she knows how to her. She has great longings, great yearnings. She's not simply going to become part of Klal Yisrael. She's going to become Klal Yisrael. What a giyaret. Vayom HaBoaz, Boaz said to her, at the time that they were eating, go she halom, come closer here. Vahal me'alechem, you should eat from the bread, v'toral piteh pa'ometz, and you should dunk your bread into the vinegar. Rashi brings the Gemara that says, we count from here, we know, sha'ometz yofeh l'sharav. Chometz is good for sharav. We all know what sharav is. I'm wondering how I ever knew what it meant, you know, 50 years ago when I learned it the first time. Vinegar seems to be like that. Don't just drink bottles of vinegar. There's something about it that makes taking the heat easier. But Peshim Tzadakar, as soon as you said, with the cleaners, with the harvesters, by Yitzvot Lo Koli, and he gave her, by Yitzvot Lo, very unusual word, he gave her a koli, a roasted ear of grain. By Tokon, she ate, by Tizma, and she was sated, by Totan, she left over. There was a lot of things that we will have to get back, but let's get some more. By Tokon, she got up then, after the break, she got up to go gather by Yitzhak, Boaz, and Norov, and Boaz commanded his boys, saying, let her go even through the bundles of grain, wherever she wants to go. Don't shame her. You can drop one or two sheaves of grain. You can do it intentionally, drop it so that she should have what to pick up. Barzavten, leave it there, the liftah, and she shall gather the low tigaruba and don't be angry with her. Batalaki basora ha'erev, and she gathered in the field of full evening. Batakbotet Hashem keitan, and she threshed that which she had gathered. She wasn't going to take all the grain. What she really needed were the kernels of grain. Vayehi, and came out to be about an ephah, a measure of a bushel of sa'or of a barley. Batisa, she carried, batavog ha'ir, she came to the city. Batakbotet Hashem keitan, her mother-in-law saw that which she had gathered. Something that's very moving about this last half of the passage. She didn't only bring home grain. She was sitting there and eating together with everybody else. She took a piece of bread and put it in her pocket. That's not a story that could have come straight from the Shoah. Straight from the Shoah. Put away a piece of bread to give to somebody else. Ratanullah Chamotan, her mother-in-law said to her, if only Kamatanyam, Va'ono Asif, where did you gather today? What did you do? Yehi Makirei Baruch. Whoever it was that recognized you or that gave you this recognition, may he be blessed. She told her mother-in-law what she had done with him. It seems, you know, like sort of, to root, the least significant part of the story is who the man was. She doesn't know, of course, that that's going to be the most important part of the whole story. She's not telling the girl about the young girls that she met there, and where they ate, and what they did, and how much she gathered. And then she said, Vatame, Shem Horesh Asher Yisiti Yom HaYom Boaz. There's something beautiful about how the pasuk is set up to leave the name Boaz for the end. Just imagine, you know, I was working with this man, and Naomi said, his 2,000 good numbers, yeah? He lives here and here. He has the phone and the fax and his and she's crossing and she wants to know who was it. And then finally she hears the name Boaz. Tomanami the Kalata. Watch what's happened over here. Something has already happened. It doesn't say Naomi said to Ruth, all of a sudden she's called Kalata to her daughter-in-law. There's something about family now that is coming into play. Baruch Allah Hashem, let him be blessed before God. Incidentally, she said before, the prophet before, that this fellow who gave him recognition, let him be blessed, all of a sudden she's using the name of God. She's using the name of God. Is it possible because Boaz is the one who said that people should use the name of God, she now uses it to bless Boaz? Baruch Hu Hashem Hashalom, Ozav Chazal et Achayim et Amitim, that did not forsake his kindness with the living, with the dead. Tomu and Naomi, you know, I think Naomi is giving back to Ruth what she gave to her. She says, let him be blessed to God. And Naomi, Ruth is waiting to hear, what's she getting so excited about? What's she getting so excited about? And only at the end, when it's all over, she says, this man is one of our relatives, and he's migoalenu, from those who have a semi-halachic requirement to redeem our lands and everything that belonged to us. What she hasn't said yet is that there's also a form of yibum, the levirate marriage, for somebody in the family to marry the almana. Rutham Wavir said, Gavu ki omari lai, he said to me, Im hanorim asher li tidbokin, with the boys who are with me, tidbokin, you shall cling. Didn't we have that word earlier? I told you not to forget it. I see you didn't hear. The ko tidbokin in the whole time in Pasuk 8. Ab in kinuat korakotzir asher li, he told us, stay with my boys until the entire harvest is finished. Tom and Naomi are Ruth Kalata. Oh no, 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 now it's becoming even more. It's Ruth Kalata, it's not simply Kalata. There's the root in her and the Kalam in her. We'll see Tositi. Wait a minute. Have we gone one giant step forward? It's not Kalata anymore. It's not Ma'afiyan anymore. It's BT. Kitaitsi. It's good, my daughter, Kitaitsi, and I will talk to you about the Sadeh Acher that you should go out with. You know, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. She becomes the scheming mother-in-law. Now, she does not yet want to reveal her plans that, you know, this may be a shidduch made in heaven. She's already, you know, she's already working on getting her married off. But you can't tell that to Ruth with poo-poo together, come on. Hey, mother-in-law, come on, give me a break. So she says, you know, it's a good idea that you should continue to gather in the field with his girls. Right? Okay? And all she wants is that she should be on the scene. That's all. Boaz will see her again, and Boaz will see her again and again. And then all you have to do is let the relationship and nature take their course. And even if it's going to be necessary to become a little bit more forward, we can see the unusual next there. I'm just finishing one more passage, and you can all go. So at least we will finish a chapter, and then we have this word that appears for the third time now, Tidbach Benar, or the Boaz, and she cleaved. She remained with the daughters of Boaz, who are came together, Adklot, Ketzir HaSorim, Uktzir HaKitim, until the harvest of the barley and the wheat was finished, Tevshev et Chamota, and she lived all that time with her mother-in-law. It was a period of 3 months. All right, there's a lot to say. Very good. Wait a minute. I tell you, until this morning, I wouldn't have known how old Ruth was, but I found a Gemara that says she was 40 years old.
Oh, there's still hope.
And the Medrash says that her biological clock is coming to an end.
Yeah.
How old was Boaz? We don't know. We don't know. He must have been, he was certainly double her age or more. Alright, everybody. Yom Yerushalayim Sameach. Everybody should participate with the
Tzibak
L'Shamim L'Shamim. Beautiful. When is the march of the... When is the march?